Have ears to hear what the Spirit is doing in this hour and in this moment and in this place. For my Spirit will do great things as you seek my face, as you walk by faith, as you embrace my way. I will bring you to a new day. I will bring you through a new and fresh anointing. For I delight to do a new thing in you. So make way for the new, and I will bring you through. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you know, I've heard two testimonies this past week of how the gifts from this church has blown the minds of people who've received them. When Jeff and Lori Smith were here, they put it this way. They said, "We thank you for your gift that came out of nowhere." And Todd Levin said that he was very appreciative of the gift that he received. So I just want to thank God for your giving. Amen? And I'll tell you what, you want to get into the giving flow. And it has such great benefits. And, you know, just be a giver of whatever God has given you and be willing to share that with His kingdom. Amen? And you'll discover that God blesses. He enriches you so much. I mean, He takes a seed, He multiplies the seed sown, and you know what? If a sower doesn't have seed, He even says He'll give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So Father, we just take a moment right now and we speak a blessing over the offerings and the gifts, Lord, that your people are able to give to you. And we just thank you, Father, for your financial plan to take root in their lives, and for every gift and giver to be blessed abundantly by your mighty hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You ready for the word tonight? I want you to go to 1 John chapter 2 for just a moment, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I want you to see something here. Now, who is John writing to? He's writing to us, right? He's writing to the church. Are you the church? Say, he's writing to me. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, he says, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." Now that word unction is also an anointing. Say, "I have an unction to function." Say, "I have an anointing to destroy yokes and remove burdens." Did you know that Jesus had an anointing? The Bible says in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. All right? And we are joint heirs in Jesus Christ. So if Jesus was anointed, then we are also anointed. Because if he gets an anointing, we get an anointing. Say, "I have an unction to function." Anything that God asks you to do, whether it to serve in any capacity, he will anoint you to do that. He will equip you with supernatural spiritual equipment. Now, you wouldn't expect a fireman to go into a fire without having the proper fire clothes, would you? See, the fire company equips them to deal with the problems that they face. And just as the fireman is equipped So we are equipped spiritually, okay? And so the anointing is going to help you know, okay? It works in you so that you can know. And go down to verse 27. It says, but the anointing which you have received of him, if you've received an anointing from him, say amen. Amen. Okay, the anointing which you have received of him abides where? In you. And you need not that any man teach you. Now, he's not saying that we don't need teachers. But what he's saying is we need anointed teachers. We need teachers who possess the anointing in order to teach, okay? But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him. So ultimately, God's anointing is in us to help us abide in him, to operate in the kingdom of God, all right? If you didn't put gas in your vehicle today, it'd be hard to get here. Right? You got to put gas in a vehicle for it to go. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So there's something on the inside. It's an unction. You've been unctionized. Okay? And let's go down to verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. But the manifestation, notice it's not an infestation, thank God. It's a manifestation, right? A manifestation is God showing himself, revealing himself, making himself known, okay? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many? Every man. And what's it going to do for you? It's going to help you profit, right? If you want to profit, say amen. Okay, so he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Notice it's the same Spirit that gives the word of wisdom, it's the same Spirit that gives the word of knowledge. Okay? To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. God's just letting us know that he's not confused. Okay? Isn't this awesome how the same Spirit can do all these things? You talk about multitasking. All right? We, as human beings, are not good multitaskers. All right? And some of you are looking at, oh, well, you haven't seen me multitask. Well, the fact that we're human makes us ill-equipped to really, truly multitask and get everything done, okay? But God can do it, all right? Why? Because he can be everywhere at any time. He's not limited by time or space, okay? Verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing or distributing to every man severally or individually as he will. So who distributes these manifestations? The Holy Spirit. So when he wants to distribute them, how many know that a distributor needs an outlet? A distributor needs a place to distribute. Say, I'm a distribution outlet. So you have just now qualified yourself for God to distribute these through you. Okay? Now, we've talked about some of these already. So we've talked about miracles last week. So let's talk about the manifestation of prophecy. All right? Prophecy. Just because an individual prophesies, that does not make him a prophet. Okay? In the Bible, you will find a distinction with these manifestations and offices. Okay? There is an office of a prophet that is an actual position that God puts in the church. Okay? But this word prophecy, it means, it's the Greek word prophetia. I don't know if I'm saying it right. It's all Greek to me. It's the word for prediction. It's the word for prophesying. It signifies a foreteller. It also means an inspired speaker. Okay? It means, by extension, a poet. All right? And it also means to show or make known one's thoughts. It means to speak or to say. It means to shine or make manifest. It means to show. It can be fire and light. All right? So the definition, the manifestation of prophecy in its simplest form is inspired utterance. In other words, the Holy Spirit will give an individual words to say. It could be to another person, it could be to a group, and those words did not come to your mind, but in that moment. Okay? Inspired utterance. It is a vocal gift. It is a speaking gift. If you're speaking under inspiration, you could be classified as prophesying. Okay? It can be called the poetry of the Spirit. I like that. Since the thoughts expressed in the language which clothes them are raised above the ordinary level of the natural gift of speech. And prophecy should edify, exhort, and comfort the body of Christ. If it's not edifying, exhorting, and comforting, it probably didn't come from the Spirit of God. Okay? Well, what about the warnings that God gave? You know, the prophets would come. Did you know that God doesn't, you know, God has great patience. And the first thing that he doesn't do, he does not come out with a warning, but he gives opportunities of grace. Okay? For example, Moses appeared before the Pharaoh, and his inspired utterance was, "Let my people go." That was inspired by God. Moses didn't come up with those words, but he stood before Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go." Now, Pharaoh had a part to play in that, didn't he? He could heed those words and he could have let God's people go, but he didn't. All right? Prophecy can be expressed in prayer. If you read the book of Psalms, you see a lot of prayers that are inspired. Would you say that God inspired Psalms? Yeah. You know, in Ephesians, in order to stay full of the Spirit, he told us to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making a melody in your heart. Okay? It can be expressed in lamentations, like when Jeremiah, when he bewailed the state of Israel. Matter of fact, didn't God write a book called Lamentations? Right? Those were sorrowful words about the situation that was happening. You know, us in America, we could write a book of Lamentations. Right? Prophecy can be expressed in song. There were many times, I've seen in many services how a musician would get a song in the moment that would go right along with the message. I saw it several times. They would get inspired words. And because they were musicians, they could put those words to song. And oftentimes they would start off, and then if you had musicians that play by ear, then they would start, a whole song would come out of it. I saw a guy one time, I was in the service in Oklahoma, and for 45 minutes, he started off by playing on the piano. He said, "I will be glad in the Lord." And he just kept getting phrase after phrase after phrase, and it went on for 45 minutes, and the people were blessed and edified, and there was great joy in the place. Just, "I will be glad in the Lord." But it was right for that moment. It was right for that, hour. If you look at Hannah and Mary, they began to sing after they had an experience with God. They began to sing songs of inspiration. They were inspired at that moment. When Mary accepted the word of the Lord, she said, "My soul does magnify the Lord." She just burst out in song. You'd be like, "Mary, where'd you get that?" That was the Holy Spirit working in that situation. By the manifestation of prophecy, one can pray. You can have inspired prayer over a situation or over something in life. Through prophecy, you can praise the Lord and give thanks for his benefits. You ever do that? You just start thanking God for what he's done for you, and all of a sudden you get really excited. You weren't excited before, but when you started yielding to those words and speaking those words out, all of a sudden an excitement grips your heart. And it's like you just kind of burst out. Some of you might remember Ethel Merman. She had that way, she could just burst out that tune, you know? I don't know why I thought of that, but prophecy can aid in rejoicing. Hallelujah. See, in prophecy, the Holy Spirit gives the unction and the utterance. And the person yielding to that, when it's in operation, they allow those words to be spoken or said or those actions taken. Okay? Prophecy can make the unconverted conscious of God's presence. When you prophesy to someone, they'd be like, "How'd you know that? Or who told you that? Who told you that?" No one told you. It was the Spirit of God telling them that. Why? Because he wants to use that to reach them. Let me just give you some names of people who were considered prophets. The Bible calls them prophets. Did you know that Aaron was called a prophet? Exodus 7:1. Moses is going to be the spokesperson, and Aaron will be your prophet. I didn't list all the names, I just listed a few. Abraham was called a prophet in Genesis 27. The Bible calls him a prophet. He must have spoke inspired words. He must have spoke under inspired utterance. He had an unction to function. Of course, Agabus in the New Testament was considered a prophet, Acts 11, 28 and 21, 10. Amos was a prophet. He wrote a book in the Bible. Well, I should say, the Holy Spirit wrote a book through Amos. Daniel was called a prophet. Matthew 24, 15. Daniel 9, 27, 11, 31, and 12, 11. Asaph was called a prophet, according to Matthew 13, 35. Of course, we know Elijah and Elisha were prophets. Ezekiel was a prophet. Haggai was a prophet. We have major prophets and minor prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah was a prophet. Did you know that John the Baptist was a great prophet? Jesus said he is more than a prophet. in Luke 7:26-28. Why was John more than a prophet? Because not only did he speak inspired words, but he got to see it come to pass right then. Moses was called a prophet in Deuteronomy 34:10. Samuel, of course, was a prophet. Zechariah was a prophet. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's just look at a few things of prophecy. Why don't you look at verse 6, Romans 12, 6. It's talking about how we are many, we're one body, but we're many individuals that make up this one body. And then he says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. It's going to take faith in order to prophesy. Did you know that God could inspire someone and that person could say nothing? That person could do nothing? You know, when God's word is going forth, some people seem to think that they're from Missouri. Show me. That's the show me state, right? Show me, God. If you're so awesome, God, you come down here and move me. Let me tell you, God's not going to knock you out of your seat unless you might need it. I don't know. But you know what? God, do you know the devil tried to get Jesus to perform? If you're the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Could Jesus have turned stones into bread? But you know what? He doesn't have to do anything the devil says. And some people are into performance. They're performance oriented, and they're not going to move unless they see a performance. God doesn't perform, but he manifests. And he will fill hungry hearts. He will come to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Bible says you'll be filled. So when you are inspired to prophesy, you have to do it according to the proportion of your faith. You're going to have to step in faith. You're going to have to take a risk. You're going to have to step out into the unknown. You're going to have to speak words. What did I say the wrong thing? No. Now you're trying to rationalize it in your mind. Aren't you glad? I'm so grateful that God can bypass the mind. Sometimes he needs to. So you got to prophesy according to the proportion of your faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. He's talking about prophecy being a gift. It's a gift that God gives to a person. Inspiration is a gift. Unction is a gift. Some people are given gifts by God and they're left in the wrapper. They're sitting on the shelf. They've never opened them. They've never done anything with them. Oh, yeah, it's my gift from God. When are you going to open it? When are you going to do it? When are you going to do something with it? Take it out of the box. Get it out of the box and get it in here. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That's my favorite epistle to say. I just love Thessalonians. It just sounds so awesome. Thessalonians. I love it. Look at verse 20. Well, we better go to verse 19 because 19 goes together. Quench not the Spirit. How do you quench the Spirit? God's moving on a person. God saying, come on, say this. Come on, say this. What are you doing? You're quenching the Spirit. When you refuse to do what the Spirit is telling you to do, maybe you justify it. Well, what are the people going to think? I don't know. What's God going to think? You can only presume to know what people are going to think. But God's telling you to do something and you're refusing to do it. What's God thinking? Oh, next time I'll use someone else. Quench not the Spirit, verse 20. Despise not, what? Prophesyings. Well, you ought to encourage it. You ought to expect it. Don't despise it. Okay? Don't despise prophesyings. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the, what? Prophecies which went before on you, that you by them might war a good warfare. Did you know that prophecies that are spoken over you enable you to wage a good warfare? A prophecy could be the missing ammunition that you need to take out the enemy target. God will send someone with inspired words across your path to speak them to help you wage a good warfare. By them, by what? He's talking about the prophecies that were on him. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away. Wow. Did you know that some put away faith and a good conscience? Some people don't need to keep their conscience good, or they don't need to uphold faith. They put them away. Oh, where's your faith? Oh, let's see, I got it in here somewhere. I put it in here. I don't know what I did with it. Do you know if you don't know what you did with your faith, you can't access it? Concerning have made shipwreck. But Timothy was a benefactor of prophecy. Words that were spoken over him inspired him. I can think back in my life to the times when inspired words, do you know, I can still see myself in the moments when those words were spoken. Knoxville, Tennessee, the Czech Republic, Cleveland, Tennessee, LaSalle, Illinois. Those words have brought inspiration to me. They bring encouragement to me. They bring edification to me. Sometimes when the going gets tough, they help me go. They're powerful. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means if someone's going to prophesy over you, it's good to be done in a group. This is my own private label interpretation. No. He said, knowing this first. Then he said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when the Holy Ghost wants you to prophesy, he will move on you. Will I feel anything? Maybe. You might feel something, you might not. Remember, we're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight, which is a sense, and isn't touch a sense? So, you're not necessarily supposed to go by what you feel, but you'll know it when the Holy Ghost moves on you. He's going to move on you to cause you to prophesy. Do it. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see that you don't do that. I am your fellow servant. This guy was trying to worship an angel, and the angel did not receive worship. That's how you know that they're an angel of God. Okay? And of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So prophecy is always going to uphold Jesus. It's always going to magnify Jesus. All right? You ready to go on? All right, let's talk about the manifestation of discerning of spirits. I want you to notice it's not the manifestation, it's not the gift of discernment. The Bible does not say the gift of discernment. It says the discerning of what? Spirits. Everybody say spirits. That's plural. Okay? It's not just discovering demons. Oh, there's a demon behind that chair. Get him! No. So let's look at what discerning of spirits really is. Okay? The word discerning is the Greek word diakrisis. It means a judicial estimation. What does a judge do? A judge looks at evidence to determine whether or not a case is worthy of a judgment, right? A judge weighs evidence, okay? This word also means to separate thoroughly. It means to discriminate. It means to decide or to hesitate. It means to be partial. It means to judge. And the word spirits is the word pneuma, which just means a current of air or breath or a breeze, a spirit. Okay? Now, the discerning of spirits is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which allows its possessor to see into the spirit world. How many know that there is a spirit world that we cannot see right now? Unless you're operating by discerning of spirits. There are angels working right now. We can't see them, but I know that they're there. Every one of you has an angel assigned to you to protect you. Angels deliver messages. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to heirs of salvation to minister, to serve, to help. Okay? So it allows you to see in the spirit realm, whether it be an angel or whether it be a demon. When this is in operation, it will open your eyes to see. Okay? The manifestation of the discerning of spirits, it gives you the right or insight into the spirit realm. It enables you to see the presence or activity of spirit beings. And, you know, sometimes some visions that people would have would fall under this category. Because visions give you insight into a spiritual happening, okay? The discerning of spirits is unaided by the human mind. It's just at a moment in time, God pulls back the veil and you're able to see things that aren't normally seen. Okay? It'll help give you insight into the dispositions of people, whether they're good or evil. It can reveal the presence of demons. Go with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. And let's go down to verse 16. Acts 16:16. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us. So what was she possessed with? Okay, she was a fortune teller. She had a 1-900 psychic number. Okay? And notice that this person possessed with this spirit met Paul and Silas, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying or fortune telling. Like I said, they had a 1-900 psychic number. People would call in and she would give them a psychic reading. I'm going to read your fortune. Let me tell you something. As a believer in Christ Jesus, you don't need a fortune teller. You don't need astrology. You don't need anything like that. You don't need your palms read. You don't need tarot cards read. That's of the devil. And the Bible is very clear about witchcraft, against witchcraft, soothsaying, divination, speaking to dead people. Let me tell you something. When a person dies, they're going to go to one or two places. They're going to go to heaven or hell. They are not sticking around this earth. All right? Now notice, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Was this a bad statement? But there was something about this statement. You know, sometimes a statement can be good, but what's behind the statement is not so good. Okay? Notice. Look at verse 18 very carefully. "And this did she," what? Everybody say, "many days." Okay, I want you to get this picture. Paul and Silas are there ministering in Philippi. And this girl who's possessed with the spirit of divination, she comes and she meets them. "These men are of the Most High God. They speak to you the way of salvation." Many days this person did this, okay? Why didn't Paul deal with it on the first day? If she was possessed by an evil spirit, why didn't he deal with it on the first day? And I'm going to tell you why. Because after many days, the gift, the discerning of spirits were in operation, and he saw that it was a spirit operating. Notice what takes place. Okay? "She did this many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned aside and said to" who? He spoke directly to the spirit. Like I said, why didn't he do it the first day? Because he did not know that this was an evil spirit the first day. But God opened up the spirit realm to Paul, and he was able to look and see the spirit of divination in this woman. And once he saw that it was a spirit, he wasted no time in dealing with the spirit. He said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and he came out of her that same hour. Everybody say, "that same hour." Let me tell you something. It doesn't take a long time to deal with the devil or to deal with demons. Amen. You have the ability to tread serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, she was free from this evil spirit. Now she couldn't tell fortunes anymore. Now her masters were upset because Paul hit him in the pocketbook. "You're messing with my money, Paul." And this is where they got put in jail, and we know what happened in the jail. Okay? But my point was, this woman was operating several days, many days, before Paul dealt with it because he did not know. For whatever reason, but then he was able to see the spirit. That's key in this operation of discerning of spirits. He saw. Okay? You don't have to turn there, but Ezekiel 1, the Bible says that the heavens were open to him. Ezekiel had tremendous vision, and he said the heavens were open. What do you think you see when the heavens are open? You see into the spirit realm. You see things that are normally not seen with the natural eyes, but when this gift is in operation, it allows you to see into the spirit realm, and it could be to see demons to get them out of people, or it could be to see angels to help people. Okay? What did Jacob see when he had a vision in Genesis 28? He saw a ladder. What did he see on that ladder? Angels ascending and descending. And then he saw the Lord, the angel of the Lord, which is really Jesus, before he was in Jesus, before he was in the form of Jesus. How do you know that the angel of the Lord was Jesus versus just another angel? It depends if the angel of the Lord received worship or not. If the angel of the Lord received worship, it was a manifestation of Jesus before he was Jesus. Okay? I know that that's kind of hard to grasp real quickly, but Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending on this ladder. His eyes were opened. Jesus said the same thing to Nathanael in John 1:51. He said, you believe that I'm the Son of God based on what I said? He said, yeah. He said, oh, you're going to see greater things than this. You're going to see angels ascending and descending. Woo, praise God. So the discerning of spirits allows you to see behind the scenes. It gives you a backstage pass that you get to see what no one else may see. Okay? And I know the human nature says, I want to see. This is not something that you can pray for. This is something that the Holy Spirit will operate when he needs to operate, and all you got to do is yield to him when it's in operation. Okay? Paul did not go around praying, I want to see demons today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I will see demons today. No. Paul went about doing what God told him to do, preaching the gospel. All right? He didn't pray for it, but it happened because this woman needed deliverance. And God needed to pull back the scenes so that Paul could deliver her. Amen? How did Peter know that Ananias and Sapphira were listening to Satan when they brought their fake gift? Peter had a revelation of the Holy Spirit. He saw into their motive. God allowed Peter to see their motive. How has Satan caused you to lie to the Holy Spirit? Only a revelation would have known that. No one else would have known that if it had not been revealed. So in Acts 5, Peter was operating by the manifestation of discerning of spirits. Because only Ananias and Sapphira knew of their motive, and Satan. But God revealed it so that he could deal with it. Listen, what God reveals, he'll deals. What God reveals, he deals with. Okay? How about when Elisha and his servant were surrounded? Gehazi got up, he's drinking his morning coffee, he takes a walk outside, and he sees the whole Syrian army around his village. He goes back to Elisha, and he says, Elisha, we're surrounded. Elisha's like, you know, Gehazi should have thought, why isn't Elisha worried? What did Elisha do? He prayed that his eyes would be opened. Once his eyes were opened, what did he see? He saw flaming chariots and angels around Elisha. Because Elisha knew, he said, they that be with us is more than be with them. But the servant couldn't see until his eyes were opened. But once his eyes were opened, he saw what was already there. Discerning of spirits. Okay? How about the story of Balaam? Balaam's traveling on his donkey. He doesn't see the angel. The donkey sees the angel. The donkey's more sensitive to the spirit than Balaam is. The donkey stops. Balaam is like, what are you doing, donkey? He beats him. Then he hits against the wall and he bashes Balaam's foot. Balaam gets mad. But Balaam doesn't see. He doesn't see the angel with a drawn sword about to take off his head. The donkey sees it. So what does God do? God makes the donkey speak. I bet Balaam felt like a donkey. You can fill in the blank. He did not see the angel until his eyes were opened. But when his eyes were opened, he saw the angel there. And had he not done that, he would have met his doom. Because Balaam was a false prophet. Even though he did prophesy, he can't go into the story, but he did it for money. Okay? An angel appeared to Gideon. He's threshing wheat in the wine press, so no Midianites would get it. And all of a sudden, hey Gideon, how you doing? His eyes were opened. And not only did he see, but he got to talk with the angel. Of course, that was the Lord because he received worship. Of course, every angel that appeared to people in the New Testament, they got to see. Mary got to see the angel. Gabriel showed up. Hey, Mary, how you doing? Okay? But it opened their eyes to see into the spirit realm. It's not the gift of discernment. Many people have used that term. Well, I've got the gift of discernment. No, it's the gift, it's the manifestation of discerning of spirits. Okay? It's just a whole lot simpler when we call it what the Bible calls it. It's when we try to add to it. Well, I got a better word than God. No, you don't got a better word than God. What God said is good enough, right? We don't have to add to it or take away from it. So, you know, as we talk about these things, I want to see an increase of the operation of these things. Because the more knowledge we have, the easier it is to yield to them. All right? And expect these things to manifest in your life. All right? They're operated as the Holy Spirit wills, but they're equipment to help you. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about prophecy or discerning of spirits? Or any of the other manifestations of the Holy Spirit? How many are there? How many of... What are the three categories? Three of them... What? Speak. Three of them... Yeah, they do something, and three of them reveal something. All right? Any questions? She has awesome questions.
Can a person who doesn't speak in tongues operate in a gift?
Can a person who doesn't speak in tongues operate in these manifestations of the Holy Spirit? Well, the people in the Old Testament did not speak in tongues. So, yes. A person who doesn't speak in tongues can, because gifts are operated by who? The Holy Spirit. So if you yield to them, you know, you don't necessarily have to speak in tongues. It doesn't say to one who speaks in tongues is given this. Good question. She thought she was going to throw me for a loop there. But I have an unction from the Holy One. I came loaded tonight. Anything you wanted to know about prophecy or discerning of spirits? Performance. Can I go over performance versus manifestation? How do you know that you're not performing versus manifesting the Holy Spirit? Okay. When a person performs, Who do they want to please? They want to please themselves, or they want to please someone else. So when a person performs, they're doing it for the benefit of the people, to get the response from the people, versus they want to do it to please God. In order to be used by God, I was thinking about this earlier. It just simply takes a close walk with God and a willingness to do whatever God wants to be done. And God, you have to be open to the fact that God wants to use you. Say, God wants to use me. Say, I'm His child, and He wants to speak through me. He wants to minister through me, and He wants to help people through me. So a performance-oriented person, they're not concerned about pleasing God or doing what God wants. They're letting the people motivate them. The people, they're doing everything for the people. And we know that many of the true prophets did not do things to please people. I think of the prophet Micaiah, who was around the time when Ahab and Jehoshaphat were kings. And Ahab wanted Jehoshaphat to align with him in battle. And all the false prophets were saying, go, you're going to have victory. They were making themselves like bulls. You know, you're going to gore the enemy. And Micaiah, Ahab didn't like him because he spoke the truth. And so he imprisoned him, so he brought him up. Because Jehoshaphat said, isn't there not a prophet of God in the area? Because these people were just performance-oriented. They wanted to please the king. Their message was false. But they were saying it anyway to please the king. And Micaiah comes and he looks at Ahab and he says, I wouldn't even talk to you if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. And then someone slaps him, you know. And he says, okay, prophesy. So he kind of mocks him and he does what the false prophets were doing. He said, okay, no, tell the truth. He said, you're gonna lose today. The enemy's going to have his way. And that's what happened. But the false prophets were pleasing the king, so they were performance-oriented, versus Micaiah, who had the actual manifestation of the Holy Spirit. They're going to speak the truth in love, but they're not going to compromise the truth. So when you endeavor to allow God to use you, just make yourself available to please God. All right, does that help answer that question? Good. Good question. Oh, and I want to say, if anybody wants to go out witnessing with us on Saturday, after our Barnabas meeting, we are going to go out to Palmyra for a time to do some witnessing. It'd be about 10:30, 10:45. So if you want to come out and join us, you're welcome to just show up and be ready to talk to people. All right, any other questions before we wrap it up tonight? Yes. Yes. Yeah, is prophesying and giving a word the same as speaking in tongues in the sense that it bypasses your mind? Well, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When God moves on a person, He doesn't move in their mind, but He moves in their heart, and it always comes from here upward, not from here downward. So when God's going to move on a person, it's going to start in here, okay? For example, you could be in a place and something is not right, all right? If you've ever been in a place and you know you just felt like something's not right, you're going to feel something in here versus something in here. Okay? And you may not understand what's not right. And but you know that just something in here is, it's just like, you know, it's like a little thing that's happening in here because that's where your spirit is. Okay? So anything that God does, it's going to originate in the spirit, and it's going to come from here upward versus this way, this way. So yeah, God's going to move on your heart, not your head. So it is going to be kind of similar. So does that answer your question? Good question. Are you guys, is this helping you? We're going to finish this next week. So next week will be our last week. So if you have any questions, you know, write them down and send them in. So let's everybody stand up. And especially young people, you know, these manifestations will give you advantages in life. And the more you know how to operate them, the more you can recognize them. For example, which office is going to prophesy you usually? The office of what? Prophet. As a teacher, the office of a teacher, they a lot of times they'll have inspired utterance. An evangelist will have the working of miracles and gifts of healings a lot operating in their ministry. So you'll be able to see how these coincide with the offices as well. So say this with me. Say, Lord God, I am your servant. I'm here on this earth to serve you and to do your will. Not my will be done, but yours be done. I relinquish control unto you. I make myself available to you, for you to use me. Speak through me, do things through me, reveal things to me that I can help people with. I am yours. You are mine. I love you, Lord. I will follow you all my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Have an awesome night. God bless you. And watch the Holy Spirit do great and mighty things in your lives. Oh, yes, if you ordered subs, they're here, and be sure to take them home. Your appetite will appreciate it.